This is supposed to be a conclusion, concluding meeting. And everybody together presented a conclusion, which is good. Really good. We like to use the word really, 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 really. Of course, I believe that whatever you said and you fellowshipped about is really true. But if you emphasize too many times really, then I'll put a question mark, really? Because if it is really, then you don't have to say really, because whatever we say should be truthful. Right? Once in a while is okay. Just like the Lord says, amen, amen, I say unto you. But not every sentence the Lord says, amen. Then amen, amen. Amen, I say to you, amen. Yeah, amen. Don't make that a habit. Right. It is much better if we exercise that every word that comes out of our mouth is really true. But you don't have to use the word really if it is really true. It is very, what do you call it, contagious. So is if everyone is really hearing it, then pretty soon, after a while, everybody is using really the same word. We don't need that. Because every word that comes out of our mouth is true and should be true. Right? I don't need to convince you, but we all need to know that whatever comes out of our mouth comes out of our heart. The abundance of the heart, the mouth, really speaks. I just don't want it to become a habit. That is not our language. So it is an exercise to be in the Spirit. When you read a book of Revelation, the Lord did not, or John did not repeat, really. Really, I'm a witness, really. And really, it's the Word of God. And really, it's the testimony of Jesus. And really, if you hear the Word, truly, really, it'll be a little bit really strange. We all have to learn. And I mean it. Praise the Lord for the conclusion. The three chapters are so short. Even every epistle is very short. So we don't need to have an extra conclusion. But what we need to see and bear in mind and have it in our heart and have a desire, since we are the golden lampstand, since we are practicing the priesthood, we need to focus on this wonderful great high priest. We need him. I appreciate what our brother said very briefly. If we don't have this great high priest walking in our midst, he's not just sleeping there or just taking a walk. What do you think this great high priest is doing when he's walking in the midst of the churches. Can you imagine the great high priest entering into the holy place and just walking around and sitting down and just take a look and then walk out again? No, he's busy. And especially imagine the condition of, he just mentioned seven, but there are more than seven churches in those days. But in his wisdom, he picked out number seven, the seven churches. Right. And I want to repeat that a seven, this number seven, is a very important number because it describes to us the action of our Lord. Just one example, how many times should they go around Jericho? Huh?
Seven.
Right. And what about that Naaman? How many times does he have to dip into the river of Jordan to be healed? Also seven. And how many weeks in Daniel chapter 9 did the Lord separate it out to fulfill his plan with Israel, with his people, and with the holy city? How many weeks? 70 weeks. And how many years is 1 week? 7 years. And what about the last week and the last 1 week is how many years? 7 years. Everything is number seven. And every time this number seven is mentioned, it talks about God's work, God's action. Beginning in Genesis 1. How many days was mentioned in Genesis 1? Seven. And the seventh day is a Sabbath day. God finished his work. So number seven is very important, especially here in the book of Revelation. Everything is number seven in the beginning because of God's action, even his judgment. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls. This number seven is important. That's why you have seven spirits, seven eyes. What will the seven eyes be doing? Sleeping? Definitely not. It doesn't mean that the Lord has sevenfold intensified eyes. No. But it means in God's work to accomplish his plan, he sees everything. That is why he said, I know. Whatever we're doing in Toronto, in Zion especially, in Vancouver, whatever we're doing, he knows. He knows everything. Good or bad, he knows. Even in my personal life, you think the Lord didn't know. The Lord knows. Nothing is hidden from him, even the thoughts and intents of the heart. And his word, especially when we come to his word, what happens? It not only divides spirit and soul, but even bones and marrow. He went deep into the very hidden part of your being. He knows everything. So don't think you can hide anything from this great high priest. But his intention as a great, wonderful, heavenly high priest walking among the churches he loves is not to expose, but to heal. But in order to heal, he has to expose what is the problem. Many times I don't even know my own problem. So I have to come to him. He is the God who searches the inward parts, the heart, which is the most important part of your being. And many times when you have heart trouble, you don't even know it. So it's very good to pay attention to this loving, wonderful, great high priest who loves us. Christ loves the church, remember that. And to make all of us also love the church and love one another. I'm so glad when he deals with the churches, like many of the saints already mentioned, although he was such a high priest described, and when John saw him, he didn't give him a hug. Like when he was the youngest among the apostles and disciples in those days, he fell down like dead before his feet. It shows us the fear of the Lord is very important. We have to respect him. The fear of the Lord. What did Hebrews 12 says? To serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Don't just do anything for God. Don't just appear before God in, I don't know, in a hippie way. You know the hippie. Right? Are you a hippie Christian?
Too long ago. Mm. The young people won't know
what. I happen to live during the time of the hippie movement. And every year I came to Los Angeles, and even in the 70s I was there. From 68 to 71 I was in LA. And there was a Christian movement called the Jesus People. They're the hippie Christians. I don't dislike them, and I'm not criticizing, but it is just strange. Can you imagine the 12 disciples of the Lord are hippie Christians? And I went to some of their meetings. I did purposely, not to spy them out, but I was bringing some of our literature to give it to them. And their leader, after the meeting there, told me, "What are you doing here? Steal the sheep? Are you coming here to steal the sheep?" Oh. I said, no. I'm coming here, and I pull out the books here to give some books for you to read. Really amazing. Yeah. And the most amazing thing in that experience is there are three of us brothers who went there. And we sat, some time to tell a little bit of stories to you. This is true. This is true. Really true. Three of us went there, and there was no more space to sit down. So we all find space right in the middle, in the midst of people sitting on the floor, and no more chairs there. So the three of us found space sitting on the floor there. And at that time, somebody brought a possessed person and asking the leader, the pastor there, to cast out the demons. And it was so strange. And the pastor started to ask, what is your name? You know, it's just like what Jesus asked the demons, what is your name? And he laughed so terrible, I don't even want to explain to you. And he just said something. I am not going to tell you, but I want to tell you something. And he said in a very strange voice, here in this room, there are only three real Christians. When I heard that, I got goosebumps. I really got goosebumps. Right. And in my heart, I bind the enemy. Okay, there are three real Christians here. The pastor says, show me who are they. And that strange person laughed in a strange way. I am not going to tell you. I won't tell you. Come on, point them out. Point them out. Who are these three? Right. I won't tell you, he says. And that pastor was not very happy, angry. Get him out of here. Get him out of here. So what I'm saying is that although we are all Christians there, but the enemy recognizes, right? Not that we are special, right? We didn't even consider ourselves as the only true Christians there, but the enemy knows. The enemy knows. Just like in Revelation chapter 12, Satan, the dragon, didn't care about that woman, although that woman is the entire number of God's people, right? From Abel all the way to the time of resurrection, those who passed away. But Satan is afraid of that man-child. He wants to devour the man-child. The overcoming part. We are all Christians. We are all God's people. But what the enemy is afraid of is that man-child. Today there are so many Christians. I'm not saying they are not, and I'm not the one to criticize them. Who am I to criticize them? Right. But there is a battle going on. Right. There are so many churches, but are they lampstands? Are they shining lampstands? Are they golden? Do they have the resurrection life? Are they alive? Are they full of life, filled with the Spirit? And I am not talking about the Pentecostal filling of the Spirit, no. I'm talking about the real Spirit of life and truth. That's what a church needs. The golden lampstand with what Zechariah chapter 4 says, filled with the golden oil. And remember the kingship and the priesthood, the two olive trees. Who are these two olive trees? Zechariah was asking. Right? That constantly filled the seven branches of the golden lampstand. And there was a golden bowl on top, And out of this golden bowls, there are seven pipes going to each lamb. Again, number seven. There are seven lambs. But from that big golden bowl, the two olive trees are filling that bowl with oil, with golden oil. This is what Zechariah says, golden oil. Right. And these two olive trees represents what? The priesthood and the kingship. Joshua and Zerubbabel. And in chapter 6, when you read on, you can see that these two ministries, the kingship and the priesthood, is united as one in the Lord Jesus. These wonderful pictures you can see must be our reality today. It's something very serious. This fulfilled God's plan. This fulfilled God's purpose. So we need to know this great heavenly high priest. You should read it again. Remember the description. The description is in such a way that will make you fear the Lord. Nobody fears the Lamb of God who died on a cross, the little lamb. In fact, everybody was laughing at him. And they tried to get rid of him. Right. But here in the book of Revelation, this great heavenly high priest is described in such a way that we all need to fear him. Fear him not in a nervous way, okay? Don't be nervous about him. That was not the point. But you have to realize our condition is far from perfect. The church's condition. In the last 60 years, I can testify to all of you. We have so many problems, the churches. The churches have so many problems. All the problems mentioned there in the seven churches, it was repeated again. And then you have Shebna replacing our Lord as the head. So at the very end, right, you were there too, Sam. Everyone has to listen to him. If you don't, you're out. If you disagree, you're in deep trouble. This is why when there was so much problems and sin and confusion and evil, in that so-called place, don't even want to mention the name, nobody dared to say anything. Because if you do, you lose your position. Remember in Isaiah 22, it talks about Shebna, his position, right? I don't know if you noticed the word position. I don't know. Maybe you did. That's good. Do you have a position in the church? Yeah. Mo, what is your position in Toronto?
Brother.
Just a brother and a companion. Yeah. In the ministry. No, in tribulation. In the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we need such a high. Otherwise, you're not afraid of the Lord. Because if we are not afraid of this wonderful Christ because of our concept who he is, we only have that concept in the gospel, then you will not be afraid of him. You can do this, oh, I have the precious blood, okay. Then no one fears the Lord. You can do anything you like. But if you see such a heavenly high priest, the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the churches, who is the Ancient One. He's the Ancient One. You're not the Ancient One. You're the younger one. Right? And we are not old enough. We are not ancient. But he is. He is from everlasting to everlasting. This is what Micah chapter 5, verse 2. The one who was born in Bethlehem, his what? His origin is from the everlasting. That means the Lord, he was in the beginning with God. That's in eternity. Right? We need to respect such a one. And many times in a church life, we think we know better. Is your name Wonderful Counselor? Counselor John Yao. No? Counselor Dr. Misha. No, we are nothing compared to that Ancient One already in chapter 7 in the book of Daniel. Daniel saw the vision of that Ancient One sitting on the throne and the Son of Man coming up to him, just like in chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation. It was already there in Daniel chapter 7. And he is this Ancient One. If you don't go to him, to whom are you going to approach if you have a problem in a church? The problem is you don't spend time enough with him. You want an answer immediately in this moment. If not, then you go and you think about it and find a solution by yourself. But the Urim and Thummim is in the breastplate of the great high priest, of the high priest. And now it's the great high priest, that's the Lord. Aaron is a high priest, but not a great high priest. But this one is not only great, but he is heavenly. And he ascended, right, into the heavenly tabernacles, not made with hands and not of this creation. Oh, yeah, the highest order. There was never such an order. Yeah. So, if we don't see him as such a one, and his sun, his face, shines like the sun. Can you ever look at a sun? You dare to look at a sun? You look at him, you become blind. Right. But his face shined as the sun in its strength. In its strength. We need to see this Christ. We need to know this Christ. Peter saw a little bit of it. That's why he said, we saw. We are not talking about fairy tales, he said. But we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. That is why Peter is afraid. Because it's very different than a Christ that he was daily walking with there, talking to him. And they were even fighting among themselves when they were with Jesus. Who will be the greatest? Oh, goodness. You dare to talk about who is going to be the greatest in front of Jesus? And even the mother of James and John came to Jesus and involved in that position conflict. The Lord says, yeah, what can I do for you? He says, oh yeah, that in your kingdom, these two sons, one should stand in your right and the other one should stand in your left. Even the mother was involved in that, struggling for power and strength. Can you imagine that? But then which one should be on the right? And which one should be on the left? It's always a problem. Power, position. We have no position. We don't need, because every position is already occupied by Christ. All position filled, you are right. So if somebody offered you a position, watch out. Yeah. Such a wonderful Christ. And if you want to be a messenger of the Lord, then be sure you're in his right hand. You're under his control. Under his control. And he's not going to just rule over you like he was ruling over the government here in the U.S. because he was waiting for a judgment to fulfill the cup of iniquity. Okay, let him do it so that they'll be ready for my judgment. But not the church. Not the golden lampstand. He's not waiting for everything to be a big mess and then come and judge the church. As a great high priest, he is there to manage it, to make it sure that it's golden, pure, holy. This is why to the church in Philadelphia, he showed himself as the Holy One. As the true one. There is no fake things in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is real. Substantial. He is not a doctrine. The true God, it says at the end in the fifth chapter of 1 John, God has given us an understanding, and this is the true God. And the eternal life. Amen. Nothing fake in it. I don't want to just know something about him. I want to know him. We know a lot about him, but nobody knows him. We want to know this true God. The true God. And John is trying to help us to know the true God. And he is walking in our midst with such burning feet as burning brass. So fine, so pure. His judgment is righteous. Our judgment, 9 out of 10 times, or maybe I should say 10 out of 10 times, is wrong. How often I have to repent. I thought I was right. Maybe not right away, I know I was wrong. Maybe 2 years later, I know, oh no, I was wrong. It would have been much better if the next day I know I was wrong, then I can make it right, right? But the Lord's judgment is always right. His feet was like burning brass, shining, burning. That's right, out of the fine furnace, the fire furnace. All of this description, we all need to have it in our heart. To have it in our heart, then we wouldn't dare just to do anything. In Zion. Look what happened in the Old Testament days in the book of Ezekiel. What did the people of God, from the greatest, the princes, the rulers, and then the priests, and then the men and the women, what were they doing in the temple of God? Worshipping idols. Each one has their own favorite idol. You think we will not be doing that? Right? This is why each one has their favorite doctrine. Each one has their favorite work. And they're competing with each other. Who is greater? Right. And but for all of us, we thought they're all the same. They're all Christians. They're all okay, right? Okay or not, you better ask the Lord. It's not up to me, but it's up to the Lord. But I like to know how the Lord looks at things without partiality. Right. Everything clear. So the Lord has to show us this great high priest. Then, if we follow him, if we know him, we can be the golden shining lampstands. And who's taking care of it? He is taking care of it. That doesn't mean that we do nothing, but we cooperate with him. We listen to him. The Lord didn't want us to be nervous. Okay, I'm not going to do anything anymore from now on. It's so wonderful the Lord touched this Apostle John. I don't want to just say John because there are too many Johns around. But the Apostle John. And says, fear not. On one hand, we feared him. Because we love him and respect him. But on the other hand, it's not in a kind of a deadly, frightening, nervous fear. Definitely not. Right. But it's full of respect and honor. And full of love. If you love someone, you will respect someone. If you love your parents, you will respect your parents. Otherwise, you'll be arguing with your parents all the time. But you should be thankful your dad doesn't have 7 burning eyes of flame. Right? But our Lord does have it. And his speaking is not always just sweet words. Out of his mouth proceeds a sharp two-edged sword. We always like to speak something that is well-pleasing, that the saints like to hear. But when the Lord spoke to the 7 churches, you think they like to hear those words? You like to hear all the time, I have something against you. You like to hear that all the time? Sharon, I have something against you. But if it really is that situation, then the Lord will rebuke us. If he loves us, he will chasten us. That is genuine love. Whom I love, I chasten, and I rebuke. So if the Lord rebukes you, it's because He loves you. If He lets you just do whatever you like to do, you think that's love? Definitely not. But He speaks the truth. He is the true one. Right. He is light, but He is also love. Whom I love, I chasten. That's the last word that He spoke. Chasten is different than judgment. And we need a lot of chastening, a lot of disciplining, so that we can grow properly and we will mature and reach the goal together. Yeah. So may the Lord impress upon our heart this wonderful great high priest walking in the midst of the golden lampstand.
Amen.
It's our salvation. Praise God.
Amen.
Good. That ends the conference. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
For great high priest you are.
Amen.
And the purpose of being such a great high priest.
Amen.
And we pray that all the churches here in North America, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, all over the world, that you will be walking to and fro among all the lampstands on this earth.
Amen.
Amen.
And we trust in you to bring us all the way to the goal.
Amen.
You promise to be all of us kings and priests.
Amen.
Kingdom of priests.
Amen.
We believe in your word.
Amen.
We fully trust in you without a doubt.
Amen.
That you will make it with all of us.
Amen.
Father, to you be the glory.
Amen.
Thank you for giving us such a great Heavenly High Priest,
amen.
According to the order of Melchizedek,
amen.
King of Righteousness,
amen.
King of Peace,
amen.
Walking in our midst today.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.